You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, don't miss the excitement and action live at First Energy Stadium. Now is the first chance to secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. Nathan Zagura, Joe Juravicius, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl and Berean. It's time now for three questions with the three-time Super Bowl champion, Gerard Cherry, who joins us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Gerard, how devastating of a loss is this, and what must the Browns do to rebound from this and get the job done Sunday against the Raiders?
It was definitely some coffee. It should have waken the team up to realize that they have not arrived yet. I'll give them that. But it's not the end of the world. I felt that way, Nathan. I'm sure you and Matt did as well. Definitely left a bad taste in my mouth, like it was coffee with no sugar or cream in it. However, as I think about it, this team just needs to realize and wake up to the fact that any given Sunday is so true, and as professionals, they should know that, one, you can't just go out there and give a professional performance. You have to put your emotion in it. And when I look at that game, I see a football team, especially on the offensive end, that just kind of said we can just go out there and do our job. You can't just go out there and do your job, especially against an 0-6 team. You have to bring emotion, and no one's brought.
Right,
Gerard, I'm gonna focus on the positive. Talk to me about what you saw the play of Justin Gilbert and that those defensive backs that I felt played their best football game thus far this season.
I'm hard pressed to find anything positive. Obviously, I'll give Deshaun Gibson props for getting two interceptions and making some good plays when he bailed out the defensive lineman and outside linebackers again on missing containment. And yes, Buster Screen showed up, and then they did do something that was necessary, which was put the team in a position to win. So I will give them that. But overall, when you look at the 22, you'll still see glimpses and shades of it. Had Blake Bortles been a more experienced quarterback, there were some plays to be made in that regard as well. So, yeah, they stepped up and did some positive things. I'm with you on that, Matt. But you know how it is, dog. When you lose, you don't want to say anything was positive.
Gerard, Joe Juravicius, I have a question for you. The successes that you had in the NFL, being able to win three Super Bowls and being around the guys you were around, distractions. I want to hear about distractions and how the best team, you know, arguably an NFL franchise in New England where guys would literally, this is what teams try to emulate. I mean, the success that those guys had is what teams try to emulate. So distractions, do you think the distractions last week with Hoyer, do you think the distractions, anything that comes with it, with West being out of the game, do you think those things hinder a team, and how do you handle it if you're a Cleveland Browns football team?
Yeah, I do think there were distractions there. Obviously, there was a lot of noise in the background for Brian with the contract situation. It looked like that weighed upon him, how he played, because it looked like he was trying to be perfect. And as you guys well know, be you a broadcaster or you a football player, you try to be perfect, you screw up. And we saw a lot of that yesterday on Brian's part. And then far as listen to that, well, Alex is not here. Jacksonville is not that good. We're in Florida. The weather's hot. We're muggy. It feels like we're back in the summertime. And just the whole hype of everyone in America is telling the Browns and our team how they've arrived, all that can get to you. But more importantly, Joe, you have to just keep the mentality of, I don't care who we are playing.
Right.
We're going to go out there and beat you down. If you're 0-6 or if you're 15-1, we don't care.
You can't care, and you need to approach every game the exact same and impose your will. And in this one, the will that the Browns had been imposing on teams was running the football, controlling the line of scrimmage, setting up big plays off play action. That didn't happen. New look offensive line, no Alex Mack, obviously. But what did you see ailing this offense, and who in your mind is to blame, or schematically, what happened for that poor performance? Saw the Browns get just 6 points despite numerous short fields and good opportunities to score the football.
You had a defensive line that just dominated on the part of Jacksonville Jaguars. They gave us our lunch and then supper and then some breakfast if we wanted to. So it was just straight-out domination. And I will say this, it's not an easy adjustment when you're going against a physical defensive line to have a guy never play for a full game, center, and then bring someone off the street, so to speak, who has experience as a veteran. And there's a lot of chemistry that goes into being a successful offensive lineman. So you could totally tell, on one hand, the confidence was probably lacking. But more than anything that was disturbing to me, just no sense of we're going to punch these guys in the mouth. It seemed like our offense was thinking more than just being a bully on the block, and you got to bring that element to the game, even if you're doing a zone read scheme. So I'll say, yes, the injuries played a huge part in it, but ultimately I didn't see the effort and I didn't see the aggressiveness, and that definitely bothered me.
Gerard, how do you, after this Jacksonville loss, sell these Cleveland Browns in the state that they are at right now with Brian Hoyer coming off of his performance, the mixing and matching at offensive line? You talked about that guard center opportunity as well, and the defense, you know, not taking a step forward, but how do you sell this football team to these fans and the dog pound here wanting to keep them hungry again against with the Oakland Raiders coming to town?
I'd play the tape again. Take a look at this. I saw all these guys getting embarrassed and getting beat. And I'm pretty sure I could find, because I've experienced it with coaching. You probably experienced it as well. Well, everyone has a bad play. I would point out everyone's bad plays and ask them, is this what you want to be? I'd start challenging them, man, and it might be too early in the season to do that. But, hell, what I saw this past week was a question of, were we mad enough to go out there with the Jacksonville Jaguars? Because they tried to give us the game. At least Blake Bortles did. And what do? We end up with really getting beat resoundingly at the end. So I would just go back, show the film, and ask him, is this what you want to put on display? Is this what you're all about? Do you really have higher aspirations? Or are you here to do like the rest of the guys that come through here in the past, collect a bunch of checks?
Gerard, you always talk about complementary football, all three phases needing to get the job done. And for it seems like nearly every week there's been a major special teams issue for this team that has contributed to losses. This game, obviously, no exception. What are you seeing on the special team side of things? And does a change need to be made either in the returner or something in that aspect of the game?
Yeah, we're going piecemeal right now, guys, where it was a situation, as you see, where on one hand you have Poyer, who's in, if it's a returnable situation, you bring in someone else if it's a situation in which
Leonard, right.
Leonard, when you want to just fill the ball. And that won't cut it because guys have to get a rhythm in place. And I understand you got to ask guys to step up. But, yeah, we're going to have to find out some way from a roster standpoint as you see. I'll make the argument that cost us the game, even though we were trailing. But, hey, that was a returnable ball. And if you give someone who has normal duties of doing that, Travis Benjamin Ball, he probably advances that ball to the 30 to 40-yard line because the punter did the wrong thing and that he outkicked the coverage, and he was fortunate enough that it hit Poyer on the face mask. And I really do think that was more symptomatic of Poyer trying to run with the ball before he caught it.
Yes, absolutely, and that's what happened, and it was a game changer as the Browns really were down 10-6 seemingly the entire second half, had an opportunity to get the ball back with the drive to take the lead there. That got away, touchdown on the next play, and then all of a sudden the game was, for intents and purposes, over for the Browns at that point. Gerard, appreciate the time, as always, when you stop by here. A very disappointing loss for the Browns. A lot of questions, I'm sure, coming out about this team now after a loss to a winless Jags team prior to that game, and they've got to rebound, get back to work, and handle business this Sunday against the Raiders.
Yes, they do. Have a short memory. Move on.
That's right. Have a short memory and move on. We're going to move on. We're going to take our final break, then wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Final chance to get your calls in. Matt, Joe, and I will hand out our three game balls. That's all coming up next here on CBD.